you hear a sleep physician called Dr. Simone Wallace giving a presentation about parasomnia sleep disorders. You now have 90 seconds to read questions 1 to 6.
Hello, I'm Simone Wallace. I'm a sleep physician and author, and I'd like to talk to you about three parasomnia sleep disorders: sleep terror disorder, nightmare disorder, and sleepwalking disorder. When we talk about parasomnias, we are talking about disruptive sleep-related disorders, characterized by undesirable physical or verbal behaviors or experiences. Parasomnias can occur in association with sleep, during specific stages of sleep or at sleep-awake transition phases, and can be divided into two categories: primary parasomnias, which are the disorders of sleep states, and secondary parasomnias, which are disorders of the organ systems that may manifest during sleep, such as seizures or convulsions. Few, if any, specific causes exist for parasomnias, but each type of parasomnia has a number of predisposing factors. For example, a bloated stomach, personality disorders, a stressful home environment, or relationship breakdown can lead to nightmare disorder, while sleep deprivation, alcohol abuse, and migraines are associated with night terrors. Sleepwalking often runs in the family and can be associated with a full bladder. As there are many trigger factors for parasomnia, the exact cause can be difficult to identify. Therefore, when conducting a medical interview, there are some important items that can be used to identify correlating factors. It is beneficial to interview both the person and his or her bed partner and elicit information about their sleep-wake patterns. It is also helpful to take an alcohol and drug use history, as well as any history of abuse. Details regarding medical and psychiatric history can also shed light on what may be triggering the condition. A polysomnography or sleep test is usually conducted in a sleep study centre, while the common classes of drugs used for the treatment of parasomnias are benzodiazepines and anticonvulsants. The general aim of drug treatment is to prevent arousal out of sleep or to suppress rapid eye movement, REM, sleep. The outlook for sufferers of parasomnia differs depending on their specific type of sleep disorder. Children with nightmare disorder almost always outgrow the disorder. However, a small number of children report this disorder persisting into adulthood and becoming a lifelong problem, while some people may experience a reduction of symptoms later in life. If the onset of sleep terror disorder occurs in childhood, then prognosis is excellent. But if the onset takes place in adulthood, the outlook is poor because the disorder tends to be chronic. In terms of sleepwalking disorder, if the symptoms first appear at a young age, the outlook is excellent. However, the outlook is much worse if the disorder starts in adulthood and there is no evidence of an underlying neurological or substance abuse problem. I would now like to conclude with a case study of a patient who attended my clinic recently. Mark was a healthy 10-year-old who was referred to our sleep clinic because his parents had reported abnormal sleep behaviour. His medical history revealed nothing remarkable, while in terms of his social history, Mark's parents were concerned that the sleep issues would interfere with their son's upcoming participation in a school camp. Over the previous 3 months, Mark had awoken 2 to 4 times per week, screaming, sweating, and wildly flailing his arms. It occurred most commonly when his parents were going to bed. They reported that he experienced a few minutes of raw terror, starting with a piercing scream, after which he would calm down and fall asleep again within 5 minutes. Mark did not recall the incidents. A lab evaluation ruled out nocturnal epilepsy and obstructive sleep apnea. However, Mark showed 2 minor arousals during which he abruptly awakened from delta sleep, the deepest form of sleep, sat up with a blank stare, and then returned to sleep. Because disorders of arousal are often vastly diminished when recorded in a sleep lab, these 2 arousals, supporting Mark's history, led to the diagnosis of an arousal disorder known as sleep terror. We advise Mark's parents that such sleep terrors are usually benign and will disappear with increasing age. A 2 mg dose of diazepam was prescribed as a preventative measure to be taken at bedtime while away at his school camp. Fortunately, Mark experienced only 1 mild sleep terror at camp, but discontinuation of diazepam after he returned home led to a reappearance of sleep terrors. Over the next 12 months, the sleep terrors gradually diminished to less than 2 per month, reappeared dramatically when he was transferred to a new school, and then disappeared completely over the next 24 months.